New Age movement a little bit, because meditation is a very popular topic, you know, in the world today. So this convicting scripture, 1:13, says that we need to prepare our minds for action. We need to be self-controlled. We need to set our hope fully on the grace that will come to us. Now, in terms of alertness and preparedness of our mind, how is that viewed by other religions? And I particularly want to focus on Hinduism, Buddhism, the New Age movement, because they talk a lot about meditation and yoga. Now, we hit on this in Apologetics Activated last year just a little bit, but in meditation, in the New Age movement, for example, you have this concept of emptying the mind so that you can experience the oneness with the universe or with the ultra consciousness. It's really, really important to understand the difference between biblical meditation and worldly meditation or practices of yoga. You know, the word yoga actually means what? To yoke. Did you know that? The word yoga in the Sanskrit means to yoke. And if you get on modern yoga websites, they'll tell you that the purpose of yoga, some of them will say that the purpose of yoga, obviously, because the word means to yoke the spirit with the body. Actually, the root of yoga is trying to yoke the person with divinity. You know, that's the whole thing. We're trying to empty our minds, focus on our own divinity if we're in the New Age movement. So when we talk about meditation from a biblical perspective, we go to like Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is on the law of the Lord. And on the law of God, he meditates day and night." So let's think about that. He doesn't do the things that mockers and sinners do. He doesn't live that way. But on the law of God, he meditates day and night. Now, the Hebrew word for meditate there is exactly what you think. It means to fix your mind on, to think about, to focus on. So when we're talking about biblical meditation, we are talking about, I shouldn't talk while I write, should I? It's hard to do, isn't it? Nobody's answering me. Everybody's mad at me because I took them out of the hall and they were all talking. That's all right. I'm used to kids being mad at me, so I can deal with adults. It's okay. Biblical meditation. You focus on the word, okay? There is a focus. So it is a filling of the mind. Does anybody know the reference for the verse that says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee"? I don't know the reference. But it's a psalm. And it's also alluding to the same thing. "Thy word have I hid in my heart." And heart in the Old Testament means the, you know, everything, the core of you, your mind, your soul. "Thy word have I put there so that I would think about it and not sin against God." So biblical meditation is focused on the word. It involves the filling of the mind. Can anybody describe to me what the modern day practice of meditation or yoga involves? Has anybody been exposed to it or researched it? I got on today to get some fresh information. I forget the exact websites, but I basically Googled yoga, you know, from a non-Christian source, because I wanted to get it straight from the horse's mouth and not from what we think it is. And here are two of the phrases that came up. Let me put this here, New Age meditation. Here are two of the phrases that came up right away. Your goal is that the mind is clean, clear, blank. Okay? The goal is that the mind would be clean, clear, and blank. What's wrong with that? Exactly. That's the key. When God created us, He created us in His image. Does God strike you as a blank-minded being? No. He created the mind to be filled. As a matter of fact, as soon as He finishes creation, we find Him bringing before Adam all of the animals to have Adam aptly name them. And then in Genesis 1:28, one of my favorite verses, after He made Adam and Eve and before the fall, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Genesis 1:28, the great cultural mandate. That was God saying to people, not only should you have families and have children and fill this earth that way, but He said, I literally want you to fill the earth and take dominion over it. I want you to harness the things that I have made by my own breath, use the brain that I gave you that is made in my image, build bridges, build societies, have buildings, learn how to make food, learn how to make clothing, take advantage of everything I have given to you. And remember, that's our basis for our understanding of heaven. Because the same God who said, rule and reign and take dominion over the things I've given you here, said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, if we died with Him, we will live with Him. If we endure, we will reign. Okay? We were made to think. We were made to harness, to take dominion, to use the mind that is made in God's image to do things. We were made for purpose. A Buddhist or Hindu or New Age view of the mind or meditation is that you clear the mind, that you empty it. And actually, one of the sites, it didn't call itself a Buddhist site, it was a yoga site, but I saw the Dalai Lama at the top there doing a little meditation. Okay, he was sitting at the top, so I knew that it had a Buddhist bent to it. And here was the quote that it gave. Eradicate from our minds the delusions that cause our suffering. Now, I alluded to this last evening, and let me pause here to make sure everybody understands. In Buddhism, in the New Age movement, man's problem is not sin. Man's problem is what? Ignorance of our true nature. We just don't realize we're divine. Remember that? In Buddhism, the real problem is that we desire things, and that causes us to suffer. And so the Fourfold Path in Buddhism says we need to eliminate suffering. If we would just quit desiring all these things that are impermanent and changing in our lives. For instance, you know, Buddhists will talk a lot about balance in your life. You know, you can't be swayed. Good things happen, bad things happen. Keep your mind empty and clear so you're always just even keeled. Let me ask you guys a question. Did God make us to be just even keeled? He did not. He absolutely, positively did not mean for us to be just kind of running in neutral, even keeled. Wouldn't that be just a wonderfully boring life? I would just teach like this. I would just be neutral, wouldn't have a lot of emotions. You couldn't ruffle my feathers. I would never get excited about anything, nor would I get too dejected about anything. That's not humanness the way God intended. We are made in God's image. Does God love passionately? Does God hate passionately? Does God go to war? Does God take things seriously? Does God weep? Are you with me? The Buddhist perspective that we should clear and just eliminate all desires and not let bad things faze us or good things excite us too much. Don't get attached to anything in this universe. Just keep your mind kind of a blank slate. Sail along. That's boring stuff. It's not the way we're meant to be. Okay? What actually can happen here too, and I'm not saying this happens in every case, but think about this. If I'm not focusing on the Word of God, if I'm attempting to empty my mind, which by the way is impossible, it's kind of like the old adage, you know, pink elephant. I don't want a single person in this room for the next 3 minutes to think about pink elephants. Seriously. It's not really a joke because it's so serious the way the world is being deluded and the way the enemy is using it. Your mind was not made to be able to be blank. And when these people get seriously into this and they truly give in to these forces and try to empty their minds, what comes rushing in? God made everything good, and evil rushes in where there is the absence of good. And if God and His Word are not the focus of a person's mind and life, something else will rush in to fill it. And I just want to say, my opinion is, people can get so deep into this that I believe the demons in hell love minds that are trying to be emptied because He can rush right in. Amen? This is very important to understand, and it's very important to teach your children and your grandchildren. The focus on the breathing when it comes to meditation and yoga, you know, it is important, and I think God wants us to be able to be calm in certain circumstances, not belittling any of that. But understand as a Christian that when they ask us to focus only on our own breath, why would that be from a New Age perspective? Because your own breath is what? The breath of God. Focusing in on your own divinity here, nothing but your own breath, which is part of that divine consciousness. Do you see what I'm saying? So when we're talking about biblical meditation, our mind should be filled and it should be focused. New Age meditation, clear your mind, make it blank, eliminate yourselves from all these delusions that cause suffering. Not a good situation. Is everybody clear on that? Anybody have any questions or comments, anything you can add? Okay. As far as atheists go about alertness and preparedness, they have a little bit of a different slant because atheists, of course, believe that reason is our only hope. The only hope that we have is what we can figure out scientifically and philosophically to improve our existence in the here and now. So there is an alertness or a focus there, but again, it's in the wrong thing, right? They're never seeking God for help but their own reason. Okay, let's go to verses 14 and 15. Anybody want to read? Any happy readers? Verses 14 and 15. Who's still with me? Is everybody still excited? Am I going to have to tell another water pouring dictionary story or what here? We're still excited, right? Jeff, do you want to read for me? 14, 15. Thank you. Amen. Now, holiness, what did we say that meant? Holiness means to be what? It's a fancy word, to be set apart, to be separate, to be different. Amen? This world is going in a wrong direction. It is all under the sin curse. And when we're Christians, we will be different. And we are called to be holy. Now, the emphasis here on holiness is because we are children. And I want to really drive that point home. Because this is what verse 14 says. Jeff read it. He says, as obedient what? Obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires. Be holy because he who has called you to be holy is himself. Okay? The emphasis comes on holiness after he calls us his children. Now, if you're a child of somebody, you have a very direct and important relationship with them. When I work with teenagers and I find them being angry, you know, I can see that they don't want to avoid sinfulness in their life. They don't want much to do with this thing called holiness. There's an alarm that goes off in my head. It's not a problem of them understanding the difference between right and wrong usually. It's a problem that they don't really have a relationship. Because when I came to know Jesus and what he did for me, I want to love him. I don't mind being holy as he's called me to be. So remember, holiness is because of our relationship. Okay, let's go on there and read verses 17 and 18. Well, let me see here. Yeah, let's read 17 and 18 together. Anybody want to read those? Another reader? Okay, go ahead. Well, Sharon, why don't you read? You haven't read. Go ahead.